Welcome to a special edition of Hobson's Choice, the podcast. Very happy to have Duke Tobin, the Bengals Director of Player Personnel, who's been kind enough to chat with us after the onslaught of the weekend. 11 picks was almost 12. Duke, how did you think you came out of it? First blush, what do you think?
We were obviously very pleased with it. When you have a lot of picks, you've got a lot of chance to hit some needs with good players that you feel good about at the different positions in the draft. Had a lot of good choices, good discussions, and the players that we had focused on kind of lasted to us in a number of different rounds, and so that was good. But we feel good about it. We think we were able to address some needs, add to the dynamic nature of our offense a little bit, add to the pass rush. Those are two things we wanted to accomplish in this draft, and we think we got some good young players that can add to us.
It seems like obviously that's the theme, is the speed. Obviously, I think it looks like you got a track team out there. But I guess that's just the way it felt, right?
It's a big game. It's a fast game, yeah. and that's just those are traits that play well in the NFL. And if you don't have them, you've got to make up for it in other ways. And it's just it's more than just timed speed. We like to see the speed on the field, and so the guys that timed fast, in our view, also play fast, and that's the important thing.
It's fitting that obviously the guy leading the class is John Ross, the fastest combine player ever. Kind of an untypical Bengals pick for a wide receiver, in the sense he's not a big guy, and he's the Bengals haven't in the past picked, unless it's AJ Green, don't pick a receiver high. What was the thinking
I don't think any of that really comes into play. I think you've got to analyze every draft, in a vacuum, because it is, what's available to you and who the best players are in that particular draft. And John, has a lot of traits that remind us of some very, very good players that played in this league. And I was a young scout around the Colts, and we brought in a guy named Marvin Harrison. And Marvin is not a gigantic man, a big man, a strong man. He's a fast, quick man that can get in and out of cuts quick, runs precise routes, has good hands, and competes. And so, and John's even faster than what Marvin was. And
of course, there's a guy in our division named Antonio Brown.
He's sure, not 6 feet. Antonio didn't time fast. He plays fast, mm-hmm. And so you want him to match up, and he certainly plays fast. And guys like DeSean Jackson, who played fast in college and timed fast, those are good comparisons. T.Y. Hilton, mm-hmm. with the Colts, who we were very interested in as well, coming out in the draft. So we've looked at a lot of these guys. Whether we haven't taken them or not, it doesn't really register with us. The draft yielded other things in those years.
Some discussion about maybe a trade down at that point. Of course, you need a partner. That's the thing. And we saw a couple of trades there, but it probably didn't hit you where you were looking. It was a long way down.
When you feel strong about a player, you don't want to come out of the draft with a different player. And we had focused on John. We felt strongly about him. We didn't find any options we thought were good for us, mm-hmm. to trade out and get in different areas. And while we would have come away with a good player, we might not have come away with him. And we were focused on him. We saw the need and the fit, and we're glad to come out of it with him.
But you traded down in the second, and looks like you came out of it pretty good. You got a really good back, and then you got a good pick in the fourth of a guy you like.
That's where the depth of this draft was, uh-huh. And so in my mind, I knew that pick was going to be a pick that might be in play more than others because of the depth. And we got to that pick, and there was a number of really good players still sitting on the board for us, mm-hmm. At a couple different position groups that would have hit needs. And so we got a lot of action on that, had a lot of potential trade partners, chose one and went with it. Yeah. There's a lot going on in that little stretch, and
looked like you had a couple of options.
We had options, and we felt good about the options that we had. And you know, you have to make a decision, choose one, right, and go with it. And then you got to trust the board, and you've got to be willing to take the players that are there. And we just felt it was deep, and we could quite possibly come out of it with the same player we would have otherwise picked, or another darn good player. And so the ability to add a fourth round pick in our minds is huge. Yeah. We've done a lot of good business in the fourth round. Right. And so getting three cracks at it in the fourth round, I think, will pay off a lot.
Yeah, what did you think? And the player you ended up getting was Tennessee's Josh Malone.
Josh Malone, who ends up being a bonus pick for us, and in our opinion, a heck of a bonus pick.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, big guy, he can run, might not be ready right away, but he looks like...
We'll see. I mean, I never like to label guys as not going to be ready right away. It'll be up to the player. It'll be up to the players.
Coaches love them. Hey,
I never like to put restrictors on guys walking in the door. He'll play as much as he earns.
Well, the thing with Mixon, Duke, obviously a lot of things in play there. I know you guys did a hell of a lot of research before making the pick.
We did. We did. He wasn't at the combine, so there was a little more catch up to do with finding ways to get together with him and talk to him and visit with him. And we obviously visit with a lot of people at the school about every pick that we make, and we feel good about Joe going forward. He's going to have to prove himself. He's been working to recoup his reputation, and it's a long process. He made a bad error in judgment, a mistake. He reacted in a poor way, and he had, rightfully so, to work hard to try to rehab his reputation and make amends to the people that he hurt. And he's worked at that in our eyes. Seeing the forgiveness from the people he affected was very, very important to us. She's obviously a very strong, forgiving woman, and she was willing to put out a joint statement with Joe about wanting to move on, and that cut a lot with us. That she can get to that point and put out a public statement that says she's at that point. She must be a very strong young lady to do that, and we admire her for doing that. That probably took a lot, and it did cut weight with us on that. And he's going to have to earn his way going forward to recoup his reputation in town, and I think he's going to do that. That's what he has told us that he wants to do. He likes working with kids. He wants his error in judgment to not be repeated. And if he can help other young men not make that decision, then I think that'll be a positive that comes out of this, and I think he's going to try to do that.
Certainly the first thing, when I saw him, he's a big man, and when you look at the film, you don't realize he's that big. And I think you might have made the comment that he's a big pack with agile, who's got the agile skills and a little guy.
Yeah, as a player, Joe fits us with what we do on offense, and I think he fits almost any NFL team with what they do on offense. He's a prototypical NFL back. He's got size, balance, quickness. He shows patience when he has to. He's got a really quick burst through the line of scrimmage when he sees it. He's got very natural hands catching the ball out of the backfield. He's done some work in the return game. He's been durable. So there's a lot of positive traits that he brings as a football player, which is why we were spending so much time to try to really understand him. And after we got done doing the thorough vetting of him, we felt like he was going to be a good fit here for us.
Went and got the pass rushers came in rounds 3 and 4. And two pretty good ones. I know they were. You got them They went lower than where you had them. You guys had them rated higher than where they went, I guess. Wasson was your number one guy on day three.
Yeah, there's a lot of drafts that work that way. I think most drafts you end up getting guys a little lower than you have them graded. Mm-hmm. That's why you end up taking them, because they kind of stand out on your board. In those two picks, taking the rushers fit us at a need too.
Yeah.
And we knew there were some rushers as the draft went on that we would be happy to have and work with. And we were able to get two of them, and the fourth round fell well for us. I mean, we had a lot of guys identified at different positions, and they were available to us. And
so the third round, Willis from Kansas State, looks like a very interesting guy in the sense that he's one of these guys. I guess he goes a mile a minute, a true lunch pail guy who could be a starting end for you.
Got a lot of those guys coming in on defense. These guys are all very determined football players. They have nonstop motors. They're very tough.
Yeah.
They play the defensive scheme, and in Willis's case, he hardly ever came off the field for him. He played dang near every snap, and that was that's good to see. The conditioning level's high, and they trust him to be on the field in every situation. Yeah. That's important. And he's a guy that has a lot of physical skills. I think he's just starting to realize how to use them.
He could be a starting end, I would think, in this league.
Well, we hope so. He'll have to earn his way like everybody.
Sure. I know Willie Anderson knows Lawson. Kyle Lawson, the linebacker / end from Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's just he got a little bit of a mean streak, and he plays hard. He kind of compared him to Keo Spikes, from a mindset standpoint, which is nice.
Those are things that we like to see. You can see the passion of a player just by watching the tape, and then when you talk to him, you can confirm it. But it's hard for a player to convince me he's passionate about football if I don't see it on the film.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If you see it on the film, it would be hard for me to for him to convince me he's not passionate about it. But it's got to match up, and we think we got some pretty passionate football players like playing the game.
Tell you what, you went up and got Brandon Wilson, who now will be coming the trivia question, which players have the Bengals traded up for? he's right there with Kajana Carter, Matt Schobel, and Russell Bodine right now. He looks like the kind of guy that we always end up playing against. Could really do a bunch of different things, can't he?
Yeah, we ended up taking four players who were not at the Indianapolis Combine, which is unusual. We have 11 picks, so you get more opportunity to do that. But we, were intrigued by Brandon early on in the process, and when you have 12 picks, it's hard to fit all those on. And he was a guy that we were very focused on late in the draft process. We knew he had taken a couple other visits. And we thought he's still there. We've got these picks that are going to be hard to fit on the team. Why not use a couple of them and go up and make sure we get them ahead of some of the other teams that he took visits to? And whether he would have been still there when we picked or not, there was only one way to ensure it. And we felt like with the amount of picks we had, it was worth going ahead.
And you'll match that up, right? If there's a guy you like, you know where he's visited. You know who you get a sense.
We try to understand where the interest level is, particularly on guys at that level of the draft, and particularly on guys who are not invited to the combine, what other trips they've taken.
Something that got a little bit of play this week. Your good friend John Schneider in Seattle is getting credit for coming up with a new trade value chart. The one, I guess, one of the themes this draft was Jimmy Johnson's. Trade chart that he crafted in the mid 90s. They're saying that's out of date now with the salary cap.
There's a few different charts that are out there. I think it's nice to have things match up on a chart, but it's not a necessity. I think trades are driven mostly by need and desire, and what you have available to trade and what you're willing to give up to do it. And sometimes it matches up and sometimes it doesn't.
What chart do you use?
But it's we've got two or three that we look at. But why it's a tool for us, it's not an end-all be-all. Yeah. It's how badly do we want to trade?
Yeah.
And how badly does the team want to trade that is wanting to come up? And
do you think the old chart's outdated? Or do you think you have to kind of?
I don't.
CBA, I guess.
I think every year it changes a little bit with where the supplemental picks are. I mean, I think every every year the draft chart's going to change a little, and you can trade those now, so that affected it a little bit. But again, I think it's a guide. I don't view it as a rule. I think there's some teams that view it as a rule because they don't want to be perceived as getting the low end of a trade or the high end of a trade. And really, it comes down to the player you're going after, and the willingness of the team to trade with you.
So it's clearly a
guide.
Each example is different. I guess each case is different.
Each case is different. If you're going up for a quarterback you desperately need, you're going to keep offering until you get it.
I guess which Chicago did.
And if you got six or eight guys you like and you'd be willing to trade up for the top one, but you'll be willing to accept the second or the third, then you're not going to give up as much.
38 trades, a record. Did you think that would happen with the fact you were able to trade the compensators?
I guess that probably was one of the factors that caused that. And we were more active than we have been historically, but it is each year's a little different. When you have more picks, it gives you a little bit of flexibility. Yeah. A lot of years we talk trades in there a lot, and nothing really materializes this year. We had a couple that materialized.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like baseball, right? I mean, if you talk about a trade 9 out of 10 times, you don't make it, right? I mean, the majority of trade talks don't get made.
I would say that's probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. What about A.J. McCarron, Duke? We heard a lot of smoke. We saw and heard a lot of smoke about A.J. McCarron.
I don't know. We're not putting out the smoke on A.J. McCarron. Yeah. I mean, that's the rumors don't originate here. We value A.J. as a big piece of our team, and so we're happy to have him. Have been since the start, and I look forward to having him going into the future.
Hey, listen, I want to thank you for stopping by. I know you're just beginning with rookie mini camp, and great job, and thanks for stopping in for us this afternoon.
Appreciate it.